Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the moves to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I'm welcomed in by my faithful co-host, Stephen Deaton. What's up, Stephen?
What's going on, man? How's it going?
Doing good, man. I got my laptop set up. I got my microphone here, my AirPods in, and I'm watching the game over here on my iPad, man. It's a good little setup I got going right now.
Yeah, got a lot going on here, too. I don't have quite the setup you've got, but I do have the game on, like, in the background here and watching it, and about ready to do this podcast on a Thursday night here and hopefully give some people some advice for Sundays.
Absolutely, man. Thursday night specials, what you guys are getting this week. So y'all just enjoy it. Speaking of enjoying fantasy football, Stephen, let's talk about this past week, man, with our fantasy football matchups. This is one where I think it surprised both of us how well we did. And so just how did you finish off in redraft and dynasty last week, man?
I'm going to preface this by saying I'm never surprised about how good I am at this.
Okay, let me preface it by saying I'm always surprised when I do good.
Seriously, we both had tremendous weeks. This week in redraft, 4-0 on the week, which is not a huge thing, but dynasty this week, 11-0. With one of those being a rebuild, which got the first win in at 1-11. So not too excited about that, but man, to go undefeated overall at 14-0 total, what a week, man. I can't recall going undefeated with this many teams and leagues ever. So I can safely say this was my best week ever in fantasy football. 107-59 dynasty record on the year, 31-17 redraft record on the year, the total record between the both of 138-76.
Killing it, man. Killing it. Last week was one of the weeks to where if you had good players and stuff, man, it was a fun fantasy week. Speaking of which, I ended up going 2-0 in redraft. I'm sitting at 18-6 overall right now. Finally ended up having one of those leagues turn around. And then my dynasty record last week was 7-1 with three of those leagues being rebuilds and one of them being a 1-year reload. And so overall now in dynasty, I'm sitting at 49-48. So Steven, I have finally hit and gotten over the 500 threshold in dynasty, man.
We're here. We are here.
Man, you know, who would have thought, man? And so it's just one of those, man. It was a good week. I will say I'm happy with it, with I guess results and stuff. I am a little bit upset that I did win some of those rebuilds like you talked about. You know, it just kind of came out to where Mike White was the surprising guy who came and won it for me in a rebuild. So
hey,
you know,
look, I'll live with it. Anytime I can go undefeated, rebuilds or not, man, I'm gonna take it. I'm gonna take the W this week.
Absolutely. And I will say this, David, I'm getting about sick and tired of you talking about win now, because now I begin adapting that mindset in a lot of my leagues and I'm making a lot of moves that I don't particularly like in the moment. But
again, I think I told you this week. I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast, but we are not, you are not, listen to me, dynasty owners, you are not a farm system for other people in your league. Stop trying to be that. We want to win now. You're in a 2-year window, 2 to 3 year window with dynasty football. Win it now if you can. Do it. That's what you're trying to do. That's what we're here for.
Hey, I like it, man. Get that pep talk up. And so now let's turn over to our news and notes, Stephen.
All right, man. First little bit of news and notes here. So we're going to take a little downturn from all this positivity, man. Let's talk about Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos for just a minute, man. Things just seem to be so bad there. They've lost 7 of the last 8 games. Judy looks to be coming back, but he's not back yet. Sutton has been abysmal this year. Latavius Murray is the starting running back in Denver, who was not owned probably hardly anywhere when the season started. I think you can say the lone bright spot from a fantasy dynasty perspective is Greg Dulcich, which, you know, he's looked pretty good at tight end. We all thought Albert O was going to come in there and be a good, you know, the tight end to own, but it's obviously Greg here. But my question here in this is, who's to blame for this complete offensive meltdown this year? What are we doing with these top fantasy players, Judy, Sutton, Wilson, in our dynasty leagues?
First off, who's to blame is everybody. I don't want to hear none of that junk about it's Russell Wilson's fault only, or if it's just Hackett's fault or whatever. It's from the top down, guys. The whole offensive scheme, the system, the coach, the GM, all of it are to blame for what is going on right now in Denver. Russell Wilson is, like you said, abysmal. He is a terrible, terrible quarterback right now. Not saying in football in general, he's okay, but I think people hate him because he's so corny, man. You can't watch the guy and just think, man, this dude's terrible. Let's ride. Did you see the sack this past week where the guy celebrated like he was praising and worshiping on the 50-yard line?
No, I didn't.
You need to go look at it. Anyways, so I think as far as what we're doing with these options, honestly, I think we're holding. And I know it sounds terrible, but, I mean, you're not going to get a return on Wilson right now because nobody wants him. With Sutton and Judy, I mean, they've got talent there. But once again, you're not going to get anything for them currently. And then Greg D, man, he's one of the guys where he's proven it. And so he's actually a buy low candidate in my eyes right now.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think you're right. I think all these weapons offensively, when you kind of separate them apart, a piece from each other, even Russell Wilson, I think, you know, deep down, he's got some talent, but they've got to fix some stuff. And yep. I'm kind of in the boat with you as to where it's everybody's fault, but I'll be honest with you, I'm on the side of the fence that's saying it's Hackett's fault. He's got to go. Like, I think there needs to be a complete change from the top of the coaching staff down. There needs to be a complete scheme change on the offensive side of the ball. I think something has to change because it's not working. It's not working at all. So, all right. So moving on here. This week we have Patrick Mahomes versus Joe Burrow. Tyler Boyd was quoted saying this week that this was the new Manning versus Brady. Is it safe to say that this is the new Manning versus Brady, BJ?
Oh, man. When I think of two stud quarterbacks like Manning and Brady going against each other, I think back to Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
And so if I had to put that on two quarterbacks, I'd probably put it on those two. But I will say this, man, I'm excited for this matchup. I think it's going to be a high-scoring offensive game. I think it's going to be one to where a lot of people are going to be tuned in for this. Yeah. And so for me, it's one of the most exciting games that I'm excited for in a while. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. I'm probably in agreement with you. If you make me pick two quarterbacks to take the Brady versus Manning mantle, I think it's Mahomes and Josh Allen right now as well. Although Joe Burrow is, man, he's right
B's
up
there,
with
there
him.
Bro.
He's right up there with him. So, and I get Tyler Boyd, you know, he's fighting for his guy right there. You know, he's saying, you know, hey, this is the new Manning versus Brady. So I get that. Staying here with this Cincinnati Bengals team, Ja'Marr Chase is looking to come back this week, expected to play. What do you think we see from him this week?
I'm starting him in every league that I got him in. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I think you have to.
I think he comes out. I think they probably do try to ease him in a little bit. But man, they're playing Kansas City. They gotta give him some touches. And so I know last year against Kansas City, he torched them, man. That's the game that I think he came out in week, what was it, 15, 16, where he had just massive amounts of yards, a couple of touchdowns, put up like a 40, 50-point game. And so I bet that's kind of sticking with him a little bit. And so I say fire him up. I think you're going to get a solid floor of 10 points, you know, probably 15, honestly. And so there's always that upside there.
Yeah, I think you have to fire him up. He has to go in every lineup you have. He's arguably the wide receiver one in Dynasty. He and Justin Jefferson can probably be argued 1A, 1B. And you're going to have some people on the Chase side. You're going to have some people on the Jefferson side. And then I think there's a huge tier break, whether you think, you know, the next guy is A.J. Brown or the next guy is, I don't know, you know, whoever those top guys are.
A.J. Brown. Just leave it at A.J. Brown.
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, so, but my point is, regardless, there is a huge tier break between 1A, 1B, and then everybody else.
Agreed.
And I think Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson are those two guys that can absolutely go out and explode and win you a week, no matter what the rest of your team does. And I just don't know that anybody up there right now, you know, Tyreek Hill can be argued there, but his age is creeping up on him. So it kind of keeps him from being in that wide receiver one conversation in Dynasty.
Yeah.
I think you fire him up. I think you, like you said, there's going to be a good floor there of probably 10 to 12 ish, you know, on the bottom side, and 12 to 15 on a, you know, a good side. and then, like you said, there's always that chance of an explosion. So fire him up this week, guys. Next bit of news and notes here. Kenny Pickett earns his first fourth quarter comeback win this past week. He was 20 for 28, 174 yards, no touchdowns, and no interceptions. He also added 32 yards on the ground with 6 attempts rushing. Not overly impressive numbers, but did lead his team late. And he also had a very clean game with no interceptions. Let me ask you this about Kenny Pickett. What is your big picture take right now on Kenny Pickett? Where do you think he'll be ranked when we start the 2023 NFL season?
I think he'll be low range QB2, honestly. I don't want to go any higher than that because you do have two quarterbacks who are coming in that's automatically going to be top 15 in Dynasty, probably even higher than that, honestly, with Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. And so I think with him, he's got room to improve. Now, I will say you'll probably have some of those top guys fall out. And so, for instance, you know, like, who knows what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers, with Tom Brady, with Zach Wilson, who knows, like, what's going on there. And so, with all of that, there's room for improvement with Pickett. The thing about it is that he has a secured quarterback role in Pittsburgh. And so, with that being said, if I've got him as a QB2, I'm okay with it long term. I'm probably not excited about it right now, but I mean, long term, he's a warm body, you know?
He's just going to have to prove that he can put up points, right? He's going to have to prove that he can put up some fantasy points to sustain those QB2-ish, back-end QB2 type numbers. I don't know that I've got him there, but that's probably fair. I mean, I just think I can probably find 24 or more quarterbacks that's going to score more.
Agreed.
I mean, but I get the take of the dynasty, you know, back-end QB2. I don't hate it. I'm just worried right now. Can he put up? He's not showing me that he can put up those big fantasy numbers, and it just worries me just a little bit.
And he's got weapons around him, though. That's the thing, too.
He does. He does. We'll see. I mean, he needs a year. This year is going to be a growth year, obviously, for him. And we'll see what he can do next year. All right, next, moving on here. Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders absolutely went off this week running the ball. Hurts had 17 carries for 157 yards on the ground, and Miles Sanders added 21 carries for 143 yards and two touchdowns. They're the first quarterback and running back duo since 2014 to both have 125 rushing yards in the same game. The last to do that was Kaepernick and Gore with the 49ers. We all know that Hurts is a QB1 right now, week in and week out, and definitely a QB1 in Dynasty at this point. Mm-hmm. What do we think about Miles Sanders? Has he entered the must-start RB1 territory on a weekly basis?
I think if you got him, you got to plug him in. Me and you texted this week, and the only message I sent you was Miles Sanders has to be the zero running back hero this year. Yep. And so with it, I think if you've got him, you've got to plug him in, at least in a flex play. My question for you, Stephen, and this is one that we don't have in the show notes here. I know that Philadelphia had come out and saying that they were tempted to go get Alvin Kamara this year. There was trade rumors going around there. He's got Kenneth Gainwell behind Miles Sanders. What do you look at with Miles Sanders long term? Do you think that he continues to be a QB2, QB3, or excuse me, RB2, RB3 in Dynasty? Or is he fearful of losing his job in the next year?
I don't know. That's hard to say, right?
Yeah, I get it.
I don't know because I'm not 100% sure on his contract situation. He's still only 25 years old. So he's still on the younger side-ish, the younger-ish. He's mid, you know, he's mid. Middle age, I guess you'd say, when you start talking about dynasty running backs. Of course, they do get old fast. But at 25, I'm still, you know, what he's showing me this year, as long as he's not going to go out looking for the bag, I think, you know, I think the Eagles will probably stick with him from what he's showing. I've always thought he was talented. I've always thought he was underutilized. His whole tenure in Philadelphia, I felt like he's been underutilized. I've seen the talent. We see the talent. The talent's there. The guy can play. But I get it. I know what you're saying. You know, who knows what they're going to do. I know there's some rumblings about Kamara, like you said. So it is a hard thing to gauge because you just don't know. But right now, man, I think you just plug him in and play him. And he's on that RB1 fringe list. Like, man, he's there. He's up there. And I think he definitely will. I think he's going to rocket up the board a little bit in your dynasty rankings if he continues up this kind of production for the rest of the year this year going into the 2023 season.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, moving on from Hurts and Sanders. Trevor Lawrence was an absolutely lights out in his comeback win this week versus the Ravens. Proven to me in my eyes that he was the right choice as QB1 of that class. I know Justin Fields has just been on an absolute tear fantasy wise. But man, I still today would take Trevor Lawrence over Justin Fields. And I think that just the overall big picture of the quarterback position, you know, makes me say, hey, Trevor Lawrence can probably be the better long-term answer than Fields at this moment. Lawrence was 29 for 37 for 321 yards and 3 touchdowns with no interceptions. He's becoming better and better each week. And the same question I have about Pickett, I got for T-Law right here for you. How high is T-Law going to be to start the 2023 season in the QB rankings?
I think he's going to be top 12 at least, man, honestly. I don't see 12 other dynasty quarterbacks being better than him right now.
I think he's higher. I think he's top 8.
Oh, nice. I can see it though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And with me personally, I just don't have him there yet. But my thing is that he's, I do agree with you. He was the number one pick in that class. He deserved to be. As far as from a dynasty perspective goes, he's a player I'm trying to acquire. You look at the progress that he's made.
Right.
And him and Fields both have made astounding progress this year. And yep. with Lawrence, they're actually scheming plays to where they're just letting him throw the ball. They're letting him play. If you watch that game Sunday, you saw him pick apart that defense, man. And yep. So he's a quarterback right now to where if there's a hesitant manager out there who is even thinking about selling, then I'm probably going out there and trying to acquire him.
Okay, let me ask you this on the spot. Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence for you right now?
I'm still Lawrence. And yeah. I have Fields literally probably one spot behind him in my dynasty rankings. I'll be honest with you.
Okay, but let's go through the list quickly then. Josh Allen.
Allen.
Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes.
Justin Herbert.
Yeah, you know, you can just skip down a little bit.
Lamar Jackson.
Still
Jalen Hurts.
Still Hurts.
Joe Burrow.
Still Burrow.
Kyler Murray.
Who's that for Kyler?
Trevor Lawrence.
Then who? That
Prescott.
I think he's right there.
He's there, right? So that's 8. 7's yeah. Kyler Murray. 8 Trevor Lawrence. 9 Dak Prescott.
I think you can make a case for Deshaun Watson in that range.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I want to see it first.
Yeah, I think so too. I just from what I've seen from Lawrence, man, he's in consideration up there around that 8-ish spot is kind of what I'm seeing. All right, moving on. Speaking of Deshaun Watson, this is where we're going right here. Deshaun Watson makes his return this week with the Cleveland Browns. If you've held him all this time, man, it's been a long, long time coming. And if you traded for him in the middle of the scandal, then you probably got a bargain. It's almost been 2 full years since he's played a single down in the NFL. My question, BJ, what can we expect to see from Deshaun Watson this week and moving forward in dynasty football?
In Superflex, I think he's going to be a league winner. I think most people in Superflex have him as their QB2s on their team. And I, like you said, I think they got him for a bargain. And so I think he's going to be a league winner. This week, I'm honestly probably plugging him in depending on who I have. Right now in one of my redraft leagues, it's a single quarterback, but I've got Lamar and Deshaun. And so I'm still starting Lamar this week just to kind of let Deshaun get the kinks out a little bit. He's playing against his former team, Houston. And we all know that Houston's run defense sucks. And so I imagine that Chubb and Hunt are just going to take this game over. And so I do agree with you, though. I think that for the rest of the year, I see him being a league winner, though, honestly. I think he got a steal on him.
Do you own any Deshaun Watson in a Superflex leagues in Dynasty?
I sold him this, I think, about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. I don't own a single share across all of my Dynasty leagues. And I'm okay with that. I think 2 years is a really long time. Like, again, we look at Dynasty through a 2-year lens, and if you're win now and you can't hold a guy like Watson for 2 years and win now, you just can't do it. So, and if you did acquire him for cheap, good for you. I think, again, I agree with your sentiment of he could be a league winner. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm kind of excited just to see him play football. Like, I don't care. I'm tired of hearing about the other stuff. I just want to see him play football. And I know that may be insensitive a little bit, but I really don't. I just want to see the football side of Deshaun Watson and see what he has left.
Yeah, I want to see if he still got it, honestly. Yeah. So, look, speaking of league winners and stuff, Stephen, I wanted to add a new segment here just right after the news and notes. It's going to transition pretty fairly well, I think. But let's call this section Temp Check, okay? Temp Check. With this, let's take a look at some of the hot, cold players over the past couple of weeks and how we've been feeling about them, how we're feeling about them currently. What we'll do is we'll cover if we think that the hot temp is easily extinguished or the cold temperature is close to warming up. And so a couple of players right here, Stephen, I just want to hear your takes on them, man. Isaiah Pacheco. Since CEH has been placed on IR, Pacheco has went double digits in fantasy points the past 2 weeks, as well as finished as an RB2 both of those weeks. In an offense that looks to be pass heavy, Pacheco only has 4 receptions on the year, and the Chiefs actually just ended up signing Melvin Gordon to their practice squad, obviously who will get some work fairly soon. My question for you, Stephen, does Pacheco's rise to fantasy relevance quickly fade, or is he going to continue putting up RB2 numbers through fantasy playoffs?
I think Pacheco is a guy that's easily extinguished here. And I think this because you just said it, only 4 receptions on the year. Melvin Gordon coming in is obviously going to get some work. CEH will be back this year, so it's just going to be a really crowded room. They're not going to just completely – ditch CEH. He'll get back in there and get in the mix when he comes back. And just to be honest, I think if you have Pacheco, it'd probably be time to me, it's time to kick the tires on moving him, right? There's not just a ton of draft capital there for him. And it just feels really crowded to me there. And again, you got the best quarterback in the league, and you know they're going to be throwing the ball, the high powered offense. They're not going to rely on Isaiah Pacheco to win them a game.
He reminds me a lot of how I felt owning CEH last year, to where CEH had those good games and stuff, but it was just the fact of this guy could lose his job at any moment.
Right.
And so, speaking of people losing their jobs in the future, Damian Pierce. Oof. After an impressive beginning to his rookie season where he was winning people's matchups on a weekly basis, Pierce has completely fallen off the past 2 weeks, where he's had a total of 7 fantasy points the past 2 weeks combined. Some things to consider. Davis Mills has officially been replaced by Kyle Allen for the time being. The Texans are obviously tanking for a quarterback, and Pierce doesn't have much draft capital at all. He was drafted in the 4th round this past year. Are we seeing a buy low window on Pierce, or are we seeing a similar path in fantasy as we did with Michael Carter whenever Breece Hall replaced him?
Damian Pierce is garbage.
Hot take.
Man. The draft capital, as we all know, was really low. They're on a team that is tanking. You know, I kind of had the wool pulled over my eyes a little bit with him because I was like, man, this guy's playing well. Like, I tried to buy him in a few places, and thank goodness people didn't sell him, because right now, looking at him, I see the Michael Carter path. I see no draft capital. I see Houston drafting another running back. I see him just completely probably going to the wayside. You know, I've seen some tough offers, man. Our boy Ben McCarthy, who does the Jab Step Fantasy Basketball Podcast, shout out, Ben. Nice plug there for you. I saw him turn down Treylon Burks, 24 3rd, 23 2nd, 23 2nd for Damian Pierce. And I wonder how he feels about that right now.
Oh yeah, and that's the thing, man. I'll be completely transparent with you. Last week, I had an offer out where I was going to send a late 23 1st for Damian Pierce in a Superflex league, and the same. Like, the manager rejected it, and he wanted to hire first. And so this week he came back out and was just looking for a first, and I don't think he got it today. So with it, I'm in agreement with you. I think that you look back and look at James Robinson. You remember that? Whenever he didn't have the draft capital, he was fantastic. Everybody was like, yeah, man, he's going to be a top 20 dynasty running back. And then they went out and they drafted ETN out of nowhere. And so I could very easily see them drafting not only a quarterback next year, but also a running back in Houston and just revamping the whole system.
And look, it's not that James Robinson was bad. James Robinson was good. But, man, there's just something about these NFL owners and GMs draft capital matters. Like, if they don't spend much on you, they just don't care about you. Like, they just don't. And they know that, you know, just look at James Robinson now. He was a healthy scratch this past week with the Jets. Healthy scratch, and you know, I mean, that's how far he's fallen. He went from last year or year before being a, you know, oh man, like you said, top dynasty running back. He's going to be RB2 for the rest of his career for the next 5 years. Look at how good he is. Look at how powerful he is. And this week he was a healthy scratch. So, you know, I I think you missed your window on Dameon Pierce. I don't think he's, you know, I don't like him long term. And I just think you missed your window. I think this is easily extinguished.
Agreed. The next rookie that I want to talk about is Garrett Wilson. After the quarterback changed to Mike White, Garrett Wilson destroyed the Chicago secondary as he went on to finish as wide receiver 5 on the week with 5 receptions for 95 yards and 2 touchdowns. Does this sudden rise to fantasy stardom since week 8 officially put him in your top 15 dynasty wide receiver rankings?
Oh, me. I mean, man, no. I mean, not for me. And I know he's got to be close, right? And I've heard some people say he's got, you know, he's got the looks of a Jamar Chase's type. I know he made an amazing move this past week when he caught a ball, hit a little spin move and took it to the house. He looked amazing doing it, but I got to see it for more than 1 week, man. And I know he did well, and Mike White threw it well, but Mike White's not going to be the guy there. It's still Zach Wilson right now, and we've got to see Zach Wilson make these connections with Garrett Wilson. That's what we've got to see. If Zach Wilson doesn't, then they're gonna go another route, have another quarterback. It's not going to be Mike White either. He's not the answer. And so, what kind of window are we looking at long term? Years wise with this development of Garrett Wilson, because they're going to give Zach Wilson another shot, and it's probably going to be, you know, next year. I'm not saying he won't come back this year, but they're definitely giving him another shot.
Oh,
so,
yeah, for sure.
You know, if it fizzles out, then you're waiting another year. It's just hard. It's hard to say, man, I'm taking this guy top 15 just because of the situation. I think talent wise, sure, maybe top 15. But situational-wise right now with Zach Wilson and kind of what's going on there, I just can't buy him at that price.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's top 20 for me. I think he's right there right outside of it. Yeah. I honestly got him right up there with like a Drake London. Honestly, those rookies that show potential. Yeah. You know?
And Drake London's in the same boat, right? I mean, you got Marcus Mariota. He's not the long-term answer. Mm-hmm. And the guy they drafted this year, I'm drawing a blank. Desmond Ridder, he's not the answer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't understand that draft pick, but whatever. I mean, it's the Falcons. I don't care if they suck or not. But, who knows? You got to have better QB play for these rookie wide receivers.
Agreed. And so, speaking of good QB play for a rookie wide receiver, the last one in this temp check category, Steven, is Christian Watson. He continues to put up wide receiver one numbers over the past 3 weeks. He was having a quiet game this past week, but thank goodness that Aaron Rodgers went down for a couple plays and Jordan Love threw him a bomb. Actually, I think it was a slant pass he took to the house. And so he has now scored in each one of his last 3 games and topped over 100 yards in 2 of the 3. Does his luck run out? Can fantasy managers count on this production going into fantasy playoffs?
I don't think you can. I don't think you can count on this production going into the fantasy playoffs. Rodgers is hurt right now. So, you know, there's maybe rumblings of Jordan Love, starting for a game or two. And I know Aaron Rodgers was asked this week if Green Bay wanted to make a quarterback change, how he felt about it. I think he said maybe he was open to the idea, or he would, you know, it wasn't anything negative.
Yeah.
But I don't think this year you can completely rely on Christian Watson to get you what you can get you those numbers that he's gotten for the past 3 weeks. I think it's easily plausible that he throws up a couple duds in a row here. And I just say that because what we've seen all year from the Packers, right? It would be really, really hard for me to trust him, to just completely trust him, as you say, moving forward. Now, I will say this about Christian Watson. Currently ranked wide receiver 37 on DLF.com, DynastyLeagueFootball.com. That is way too low in my opinion.
Agreed.
I think, you know, he is probably a nice buy low now candidate before he starts rising in these rankings, because I do see some potential there. Obviously, he's a pretty talented player, but we just need to see more consistency on a week in, week out basis. And I know he's putting some of that together 3 weeks in a row with a touchdown, like you said, but I can't trust that aspect just yet.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think he is a perfect buy low candidate. My biggest thing is, man, is that I think ride the wave for now before fantasy playoffs happen. You know, if you get him in the flex, I'm okay with that. But the thing about it is, don't rely on that whenever it's this game on the line. You know, and I think that's where we're kind of getting at, Stephen.
Yep, I agree.
All right, Stephen, let's get into our favorite segment, man. Sneaky flex play.
Let's
and
do
so,
it.
This is one that I know our listeners always look forward to. And so let's take a minute and recap how our sneaky flex plays did last week. Stephen's Juju Smith-Schuster finished as wide receiver. Oh, man, I had to squint to see that. 68 on the week with a stat line of 3 for 38 and playing a total of 38% on snaps. I think that's where the real issue was. Yeah. My call of Antonio Gibson didn't do much better as he finished his RB38 when there's only 32 NFL teams with a stat line of 9 attempts for 32 yards rushing and 3 receptions for 22 yards receiving with Brian Robinson having the big day against Atlanta. So let's just get into this gross pick, Steven. I'm going to go ahead and start off, man. Mine feels the grossest flex play I've ever said because I don't own a single share of this guy, but you can't sit there and ignore the numbers. Okay. And so hear me out when I say this, but if you've got Darius Slayton and you are hurting at wide receiver in a deep league, start him in your flex. Okay. He's been putting up flex numbers on a weekly basis. And not only that, but he plays against a weak, weak Washington defense this week. Not saying that they're extremely weak, but, you know, it's a divisional matchup. Not only that, but the thing about it is that who else is the Giants going to throw to besides Saquon? Literally, it's just Slayton. Bellinger might play, but he might not. He just got done fracturing his orbital bone. And so, with it, I know Slayton just showed up on the injury report today with an illness. Everybody's had illnesses this past week. I've had an illness this past week. With me, man, I'm throwing Slayton in there. Dude's been putting up his last 5 performances. 14 points, 11 points, 20 points, 13 points, 10 points. That's flex numbers. Throw the guy in there, be done with it, go on about your business.
I don't want to talk about it. I have no comment on Darius Slayton either.
That's why I said it's gross, but he's doing it.
Yeah, well, throw him in there. Throw him in there. Trust our guy BJ here. Throw him in your flex.
Yeah, just don't send me the receipts.
I don't own a single share. You have just cursed Darius Slayton for a terrible
week.
That's
fine. That's good. I hope so.
Terrible week. All right, my guy here, my sneaky flex play this week. I'm trying to get back on track here. I can't stand this terrible flex picks all week. George Pickens, a guy who feels like a really boomer bust guy, and I get that. But I think he's seeing enough volume right now to be a serious flex consideration. He caught 3 of 6 targets for 57 yards this past week in a 24-17 win over the Colts. Pickens led the Steelers in receiving while finishing 2nd in targets. The rookie receiver added to his collection of spectacular catches with that twisting 35-yard grab down the right sideline in the first half. Pickens will be a flex option in what I think is a plus-plus matchup against those Falcons in Week 13. And I think that he is the best receiver on that team. He is the most talented receiver on that team. He probably is the most athletic receiver on that team. He seems like every week he's making one of those miraculous catches, right? It seems like every week he's making some kind of miraculous catch. So I think it's just a matter of time before we see a really boom out of him. Man, throw him in your flex. Let's hope that boom is this week.
Hey, man, I love it. I'll be honest with you. Pickens is another one of those guys where I think I sold him a little bit too early. And with it, I mean, he's the alpha on the team. I mean, Deontay Johnson ain't bad, honestly, but Pickens is the guy. So moving on to our next segment, Steven, one that we actually do a little bit better than our sneaky flex plays with, and it's the underdog segment.
Yeah, let's do it, man. So recapping last week, my picks was Josh Allen over 334.5 total yards was a miss by 4 yards. Josh Allen finished with 331 total yards. So that one stung just a little bit. My second one was Jamal Williams over a half rushing touchdown, which hit. Jamal Williams had another rushing touchdown, keeps just running that ball in the end zone week in and week out. And my second one, DeAndre Swift, with an over 19.5 receiving yards, was a hit. I think he hit it fairly early. Both Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift hit those numbers I know Jamal Williams hit his early. Maybe Swift was in the second half, but regardless, was a hit. So I went 2-1 this week in my player props with a total record of 9-4 since we've started this whole underdog gig. Your picks here this past week, Josh Allen under a half interception was a miss off a tipped pass, which is brutal. But that just happens sometimes, man. It just happens, and it is what it is. So you missed that one. Saquon Barkley over a half rushing and receiving touchdown was a hit. And then Dak Prescott over 247.5 passing yards was a hit. So this week you went 2-1 as well. So moving into this week, my first one here, we'll alternate this like we always do. But my first one here, I'm going Deshaun Watson over 22.5 rushing yards. Deshaun Watson coming back this week against a Houston defense who, like we've talked about earlier, is one of the worst in the league against the run. I do look for Deshaun Watson to throw the ball, but I also look for him to make plays with his legs like he always has. And I think 22.5 rushing yards is probably a pretty good lock this week. I probably expect him to maybe do this a little more than he normally would just to try to get back into the feel and the flow of an NFL game. He may pull it down early and just look to go out of instinct, out of that athletic instinct, not playing an NFL and seeing an NFL defense for 2 years. So I think this over 22.5 rushing yards is a smash.
Yeah, I agree, man. I think, man, honestly, if you've seen Houston, you've seen other opponents run on them like crazy. And so I do agree, knowing Deshaun Watson, and I imagine when he hasn't seen a defense in 2 years, he may end up getting a little panicky. And in doing so, he's probably going to end up scrambling a pretty decent amount.
Exactly.
So my first one, I'm going with another quarterback and over in their rushing yards, and that is Jalen Hurts. Over 50.5 rushing yards against Tennessee. Jalen Hurts last couple of games, man, you mentioned earlier, Steven, he's been killing it. Guy rushed for 157 yards this past week. Before that, he rushed for 86 yards. The thing that I think is kind of going unnoticed, though, is that, man, he's up there in his attempts. Some games he's getting 15, 16, 17 attempts. So far he has 6 games where he has double digit attempts in rushing. And so with it, he's one of those players against a team in Tennessee who is going to try to run the ball like crazy. They're going to try to keep the ball out of Jalen Hurts' hands. And I think the running game is working for the Eagles. And so why would they stray away from that? And so I expect read options here. I expect Hurts to scramble. And so in doing so, I see him having 50.5 rushing yards easily.
Yeah, man, the running game is absolutely crushing it with the Eagles right now. And that's the way that offense is built. They're built to run, whether it be quarterback run or running back run. They do need to be a little more careful with Hurts. 17 carries is a lot for a quarterback.
It's a ton, man.
You know, but man, as long as he's healthy and can put those numbers up from a fantasy perspective, man, I love it. And I think over 50.5 rushing yards, I like it this week. We'll see at Tennessee. Tennessee's a pretty decent defense, so we'll see. But they got a good front. You know, Jeffrey Simmons is there kind of leading the attack there. He's a monster inside. But, man, Jalen Hurts in his own right is a monster too. So I kind of, you know, we'll see. I like it. I like it. I like it enough to say I like the over. So I agree with you there. All right, moving on. Mike White over 243.5 passing yards this week. I know he just had a monster week this past week, and everybody's probably thinking we're fixing to see a letdown from Mike White. It's going to be an abysmal performance, just, you know, kind of like you think you would see. But, man, I really like the over here of 243.5. They're playing at Minnesota, which is in a dome, so you don't have to worry about the weather. And Minnesota's been a pretty decent team this year offensively in that dome. They're going to put up points, you would think. And I think Mike White's going to have to try to match, and I think they're going to be throwing the ball a lot. So I like Mike White at over 243.5 passing yards.
Yeah, man, I agree. You know they could be running the ball, that's for sure.
No,
they're not. And so I expect Garrett Wilson to have another big game, honestly. Yeah. And going back to the Tennessee-Philadelphia game, my second player prop is I got Derrick Henry under 20.5 rushing attempts. This is one that I'm a little bit skeptical about, but just hear me out real quick, okay? So the 20.5 rushing attempts, if you look at this matchup with Tennessee versus Philadelphia, I see it as being Jalen Hurts and Philadelphia Eagles getting up. Now, I know I say that a lot on this podcast. But with it being said, man, when you look at Derrick Henry's rushing attempts this past, man, the whole season, he's looking anywhere between 20 and 30 some days. But here lately, the last game against Cincinnati, he had 17 rushing attempts for 38 yards. The game before that, Green Bay, who has a terrible defense, he had 28 rushing attempts. The week before that against Denver, 19 rushing attempts. The week before that against Kansas City, 17 rushing attempts. And so what you begin to see there is that whenever the other team has a potent offense, one that can actually do something, then 9 times out of 10, he's getting between 15 and 20 rushing attempts. And so with it, I think that they're going to end up playing from behind. Honestly, Tennessee is. And so I'm taking the under on this. I know it may be a hot take, but it's one that I'm sticking with.
I think it's really hot. And I think it's hot for, you know, a couple of reasons. One, it's King Henry. Okay. King Henry, we all know, gets that volume most of the time, a lot of times. Especially at home. Well, he's not at home, is he? Is he at home?
No, he's at Philadelphia this week.
Okay, at Philadelphia. I see here. Both of us have at Philadelphia. So at Philadelphia, it's hard because I think it's right there, right? That's the number. That's why these.
Oh yeah, it's close, man. That's what I'm saying. I could easily see it losing, but I think it's one that you can put on there and see it happening.
I've seen a little, you know, it looks like, you know, going back to talking about his attempts, you know, obviously that Green Bay game was an outlier here over the past 3 or 4 weeks, but you're right. 3 of the past 4 weeks, 17, 19, 28, and 17. So in the teens, 3 of the last 4 weeks, I think there's a little bit of a concern with Tennessee, probably just his usage, right? Because the weeks prior to that, 32, 30, 28, 22, 20. So,
and here's my concern too, Steven, is that his snap percentage on the year is terribly down. The guy hasn't played over 75% of the snaps any game at all.
Yeah.
And the last couple of games, 3 of the last 4, he's been under 60% of the snaps.
Right.
And so, like, if he was in the whole game like he used to be, then, man, he'd be crushing it.
Yeah. Well, and maybe this goes back to, you know, veteran usage. The Titans are first in the AFC South, so maybe they just look at it like, you know, as long as we're kind of doing what we're doing right now, we can save this guy for later. But who's going to be the one to say when that later is going to be? Because I do think that before it's all said and done with, you will see the Titans lean on Derrick Henry, and I think you might see them lean on Derrick Henry against a really nice matchup against the top-ranked Philadelphia Eagles.
Hey, I could see it, man, like I said.
So, all right, moving on. My last player prop this week, Tyreek Hill. Man, love this player. Can absolutely go off at any moment in time against any defense in the NFL. It doesn't matter. Tua slinging the thing around. He's got Jalen Waddle back there to help him out, you know, help Tyreek out in the passing game. And they've both been killing it. We've talked this year on the podcast about Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle being able to sustain wide receiver one numbers on the same team, and they've done that. But, man, I'm going to do this, and I hate it. But Tyreek Hill under 90.5 receiving yards against San Francisco in San Francisco. And I say that because San Francisco has been playing really well, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. I think San Francisco is good enough in San Francisco to probably just completely take away Tyreek Hill. Now, he's still going to get his. And I know he can get it in one pop, right? I mean, he can get it. But I think San Francisco is good enough to hold him down just this week. And 90.5 receiving yards is still a lot of receiving yards. So I'm going under 90.5 receiving yards for Tyreek Hill this week.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, I don't hate it. I think it's one of those things where it's a toss-up, you know, to where he could very easily have it or he could very easily not. And so, I mean, as long as he gets me 3 touchdowns, Steven, I'm okay. I don't care. And so my last player prop that I'm going with – it seems like the ones that I hit on a lot is the tight ends. And so let's just focus back on that. TJ Hockenson.
Let's get on it.
His player prop right now for Hockenson is 4.5 receptions, and I'm hitting the over against the New York Jets. Yeah. The reason being is because his last 2 games, he has 5 receptions. So that's kind of where the line comes from. Before that, he had 7 receptions. Before that, he had 9 receptions the last 4 games. But what I want to focus on, man, his targets right now are outrageous for a tight end. He's averaging close to 8 targets per game. And so you're telling me that TJ Hockenson, who is one of the most sure-handed tight ends in the league, all he has to do is catch, 70-80% of his passes that is thrown to him, if that, maybe even less, then sure, I'll go with it. And so, like you said, I do expect the Jets to sit there and try to pass the ball a pretty good bit. Minnesota has obviously straight away from the run and has started passing the ball like crazy. And ever since Hockenson has ended up going over to Minnesota, he has finished as a tight end one every single week. And so with it, I'm banking on it.
Yeah, man, I love the player. I loved the move for him. I did not know how Kirk Cousins and the Vikings would really utilize him, but, man, they have done it to perfection when you're talking about usage for a PPR tight end. And you're right. Before being acquired by Minnesota, his last three games with the Lions, 4 targets, 5 targets, 4 targets. Yep. And then when he was acquired by Minnesota, 9 targets, 10 targets, 9 targets, and this past week, 6 targets. So, man, I'm on board with you here. 5 receptions. He has not had less than 5 receptions any game with the Vikings this year. So 4.5 receptions. Give me the over. I like it, BJ. I like it a lot.
Thanks, man. So our last segment, one that we've been doing just for the past couple of weeks, is tips to a rebuild. Man, everybody likes to win now. Everybody. Like what you said, Stephen, we play Dynasty to win now. However, sometimes you got to be self-aware enough to know that you are not in a win now mode. Sometimes you got to realize that you're middle of the pack. Sometimes you got to realize that, hey, you might want to change stuff up a little bit, make a reload, do a little quick rebuild, you know? And so what we've been doing, Stephen, is basically just giving tips for this. If you've been contemplating a rebuild, we want to give you some advice. We want to be able to say, hey, before you consider this, are you willing to go through the necessary steps to this rebuild in order to be a monster in the next couple of years? And so with this, Stephen, I'm going to let you go first, man. What is your advice? What is your tip to someone who is considering a rebuild?
All right. My advice this year for someone considering a rebuild is to be prepared for the long game. I think, you know, it's most likely going to take you 2 years, I think at minimum, to complete a rebuild. Every now and then, if you make the right moves, and I say moves as in multiple moves, you might can get it done in 1 year's time. But most of the time, it's going to take you 2 years to complete the rebuild, and sometimes 3. So every move you make is looking ahead, playing the long game, the really long game. You should be looking ahead that far with your roster construction. And when I say that far, I mean 2 to 3 year window. You don't want to be buying a 26-year-old running back who in 3 years is going to be 29. You don't want to do those type things. So you need to be looking at this from a lens of a 2 to 3 year window. Dynasty football most of the time is not instant gratification, especially in a rebuild. So be prepared to play the waiting game and do the best you can in building a true dynasty team.
Hey, man, I love this. So far, I've completed 1 rebuild, Steve, and I'm currently in 3. I know that makes me sound like a loser. But with it, man, what I've realized is that I do agree. You have to be looking long-term. And I think one way of looking long-term is trying to basically project when players are going to boom and when they're going to bust. I remember one move that I made last year where I sold, I think it was Elijah Mitchell and Trey Sermon, I believe, and ended up getting Mike Evans. And then whenever Jamar Chase was on his not so great beginning of the year last year, I flipped Evans and a couple more pieces for Chase. And so with it, what you're trying to do there is you're trying to see players long term, like what you said, and not mess yourself over by getting caught holding the bag, like we always talk about.
Absolutely.
So my advice, my tip that I have for anybody that is doing a rebuild, be active and talk to your league mates, okay? If you're really considering going into a rebuild, nothing can discourage you more than league mates who are inactive. We all have them, every single league. But build relationships, because that's what fantasy football is all about. If you want to get deals done, negotiate with your league mates. Don't try to get over on them every time. Don't try to say, hey, add this person. Hey, give me a second. I'll give you a third. Any of that. Instead, see what their values are. See if they're high, if they're low on a player. See if there's any players they love on your squad that you're not particularly fond of. See how tight they're holding on to their draft picks. Exploit their homer tendencies. If you're going to do a rebuild the right way, listen to me here. You have to know your league mates. You have to build these relationships. You have to be open to making moves. You have to be able to communicate and work together to get a deal done. If you're going into a rebuild expecting everybody to come to you and just expound on these offers and you're just going to smash accept every one of them, that is not how a rebuild works. They're still trying to win at the end of the day. They're still trying to get over on you. You got to build these core these core friendships, honestly, these relationships. If you don't put in the work, expect to never come out of your rebuild. Good luck being stuck in the abyss of the middle teams for the next 3 years of your dynasty perspective there. And so with that, man, just be active, build these relationships, enjoy fantasy football. And I think in doing so, you can build a long-term team.
Yeah, there. It's always hard when you have these inactive league mates, but man, you have to do your part to be one of the active ones. You can't be lumped into that sum of an inactive league mate, because if you don't like it, then you can't be that person. And it is hard. Don't be one of these guys stuck in the middle. This mediocre purgatory, as I call it. I think you need to expand. If you're a losing team, you need to look at, is it time to rebuild? If you're a winning team, you go win it. But if you're losing, it may be time to do those rebuild. And you can't, it's just so hard to turn it around. And like I said, back to my point, and just 1 year or half a year. So it is a long game, but you do also have to be active. And you do have to exploit other people's tendencies and be, really smart about what you're doing. And I'm not saying, you really have to just win the trade, because that is a thing, especially with rookie dynasty players. You have to feel like you have to win the trade. I have to win the trade to make the trade. That is a terrible way to play dynasty football. And if you're that way, you're the worst kind of dynasty manager.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, I've been there, and
I was that guy. I've been that guy. I will say that I've been that guy. And I still like to feel like I'm getting the. I still like to feel like it feels good to me, not necessarily that I'm getting the better deal, but you need to feel good about the deal you made. That doesn't always equate to winning the deal.
I agree 100%. And I think where it comes in is you got to know your direction. If you're going win now, go that way. If you're going rebuild, make moves to be a rebuild. Right. And so with it, I agree 100% with you, Steven. I've made, man, more trades than I could probably count ever. And I've lost a bunch of them. I'll be honest with you. I think I lost some this week.
Yep.
And so with it, man, just got to be open to it. You win some, you lose some. But at the end of the day, it's fun, man. It's enjoyable.
Yep, it is. It's fun.
And so I want to take this time and just thank our listeners, man. We appreciate you guys just taking an hour out of your time each and every week, just being able to listen to two guys talk about dynasty fantasy football. And so thank y'all for that. You can follow us over on Twitter. My personal one is at AfroDynamics116. Steven's is at SDeaton24. We have a Twitter as well for our podcast. It is at LOL Dynasty Pod. You can also follow us over on Facebook, Legacy of Legends, the Dynasty Podcast. Give us a review if you want to. If not, it's cool. But man, share our content. If you have any segments that you would like for us to hear, any topics that you'd like for us to cover, any trades that you want us to break down or anything, we don't care, man. Reach out to us on social media. We'll be looking at it. Reach out to us if you're in one of our leagues, whatever it may be, man. I know we're getting really, really close to the fantasy playoffs right now. And so, man, we're just trying to stay active, keep our leagues active. And one way we're trying to do that is through this podcast as well. And so, Steven, I always turn it over to you, man. What's some final fantasy advice you got for our listeners?
Yeah, man. The final fantasy advice I've got this week, man, is check your trade deadlines. I know they're coming up. I know we've talked about them on the podcast before. I know the trade deadlines in the leagues that I run, and I do believe in a trade deadline. And we can get into that another day. But my trade deadlines in the leagues that I run is the Friday before the last regular season matchup on the weekend. So just check those trade deadlines. Again, if you're a team rebuilding, right now is a really good time to try to rebuild, because these win now teams are looking to make some moves to solidify their roster, especially if there's some trade deadlines. So if you do that, check your trade deadlines, check your league mates and what they're trying to do, fill them out, and you might get some good deals this week.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. One last thing that I want to leave you with as well. Not only should you check your trade deadline, you should also check and see how each one of your leagues is doing seeding for playoffs as well as draft picks next year. For instance, you don't want to be one of the highest standing middle teams whenever it's based on standings for draft picks next year and vice versa. Some are potential points. You want to get those points off your roster, all of that as well. Yep. And so, man, just enjoy it. Enjoy this week. Like what Steven said, be making the moves to either solidify your championship or pick up some first, man. And so y'all enjoy it. Hope y'all have a fantastic week, and we hope that y'all win y'all's fantasy matchups. Have a good one.